holding the Rosh Hashanah of Tess. So the first half talks about tzniyus a little bit. Betzim is more that Goyin that we mentioned. Really, there's a second half to the Goyin, which I plan to say on Thursday, which was very relevant to Tisha B'Av, but it's already post Tisha B'Av, so maybe a different opportunity. Baltosim is the second half, so the Rosh continues in Oiskov Tess. Baltosim Sohav Kislecho, do not make gold, money, your castle, that which you rely on. We mentioned that the Yunim from Rav Chaskel Sarner, so he says that the two things which pull a person away from tznius are looking for other people for support, relying on them, it's Mishenes Bnei Adam, and looking out for Zov, looking out beyond yourself for Zov. But the Rosh, as written, he says, "Altosim zov kislechol kizoyis tachilas avodas akum." That's the beginning of avodas zora. Is looking at there's something which has a power, which has the power to maintain you, and that's the person that feels that I have money, I'm safe and I'm supported. Fazer b'moynchok b'asher kasher b'sana. Spend your money the way Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you to. The Barsham has what to support you. There's a bit of a word from the Kotzker. The Kotzker says that the Moor says that person Mishiyesha Pas Beselova, and he says Manercha Lamacher Erase Mektani Amona. So the Kotzker, in his inimitable way, is supposed, you know, going to say, like, you know, what are you worried about tomorrow? You have the, he says that attitude goes like this: today I have Pas Besali. I'm safe. I need to be talking for tomorrow. Worry about tomorrow. He says, and today you're guaranteed. Just because you have it now means you'll be able to eat and the beating from it. Maybe something will happen along the way. It'll be destroyed. He's only worried about tomorrow, but today he feels guaranteed. He feels like, I have it. That's Vaitzer. That's exact Miktani Amona. So the Rosh says, like, you know, I have money. I feel confident. Really? And then nothing could happen to that. There's plenty of people who felt quite confident about, you know, their investments, etc. Next thing you know, the most secure investments in the world, and next thing you know, they're gone. So the fact that the person feels that he has, that he has that being reliable. Spend the money properly. There's a Gevaldige Machshava from the Rabbi Rucham. Rabbi Rucham says that he predicted the fall of communism. Way back in the 20s, says it can't maintain itself. He says because the Torah recognizes, prescribes a concept of personal ownership. It's very clear in the Torah, in Chazal, Halacha, we have a concept of a mitzvah of Kavala Varaya, there's a Kayach of Bailis, there's a Chazak of Kamash of Sim Shalayhu, there's Mamash Dinim, which are built on the fact that you have money. And they're denying that it cannot exist. Then he says, okay, but that's an alam. Like, you know, like whenever we see something in Chazal, we understand it's not a prat. There's a yesod behind it, right? She one time said over a maaser like this. This is, I think I may mention this here. Well, Lisa mentioned a few people. I don't mention everybody. Rishiva told us a maaser that this goes in tells. There was a Galach there who had spent some time in Chicago. He had come to America from Lithuania to a certain parish, and he learned the English while he was here in America. And he went back to Telz. Nobody spoke English in Telz, Lithuania. It was a little dinky town. I mean, according to Lithuanian standards, it was a big city. But it was 20,000 people. You know, that's like a big city. So who spoke English over there? The only people who spoke English over there was the Yeshiva Bachrim. There was a few American Yeshiva Bachrim. This fellow learned English. He felt it was a good thing to know. He didn't want to lose it by not using it. So he used to pigeonhole them when he got a chance to cop the Bachrim and schmooze with them in English. The Bachrim. So what would happen? It says lunchtime, and we would go for walks, and then this Galach used to wait and ambush us to try and cop a schmooze with us in English. You know, we would go talk and learning whatever to air out a little bit. Then we had to deal with this Galach. So he eventually made a relationship with this Galach a little bit. So one day he borrowed a science book to read. And he's reading the science book. So a little while later, he's walking with the Rosh Yeshiva that tells a Rav. Hashem Inkam Doma, Yerav Mitzvah Bloch. So he tells Rashiva that he's reading the science book, etc. Now, there's a few snapshots over here which don't fit into the standard thing nowadays. Firstly, you don't borrow science books from him. You don't tell your Rashiva that you're reading science books. Anyway, so, and then the next step is like, I told Chili this story. It didn't make it into the book for some strange reason. So he's walking with the Rashiva one time, and he says, he's telling him he's reading something about gravity. There's some interesting, some point in science about gravity. So the Rav looks at him, and he says, Newton came along, and he observed the fact that that items fall. Right. So let's say he made the first law of physics, items fall, he wouldn't have made it to the history books. He chapped the longest why items fall. The longest, you can be mashed it from the that example and apply it to the heavenly bodies, and therefore we can predict based on that there has to be a planet called Neptune, because there's something which is affecting the movement of Jupiter. So there must be something affecting it. So he took from the fact that he sees, let's say, apples fall, if you wanted to make the story, the Pachmanov story, right? All right? So he sees apples falling, and he chapped the Yesoid and the Lundis, and Mela, he's able to predict the movement of heavenly bodies based on that, or Kepler did it, etc. So based on that concept, now you made it into the history books. He says, so what's the Nakuda? Says, a person learns Yaradeya. So let's say for argument's sake there are 10,000 halachas in Yoreday, and he memorizes all 10,000. Come on, look at 10,000 halachas, he has them all clear. It's his name. He doesn't have to learn this why. He's an Amoritz Gomer, because there's 100,000 possible shaylas. So how do you pass on the shaylas? Because you have the Yesoid Shabbat. You have the Yesoid, you can pass on a million shaylas. That was the Rav's response to the Rashiva's story. He took out of it a Yesod in life, that the Kud is the Chat Alumnus. So the Bershom made him at sea is called Hamutz Mechrela Marai. So Gavaldig Yesod, but why did he make that? What's the Yesod behind that? So Biruchim says, if you wouldn't have Bailis, you couldn't be a Noisim. You wouldn't have what to give. And the Bershom made the Bria of Olam Chesed Yibonah. So when you deny personal ownership, you deny the concept that a person owns something, you've destroyed the whole foundation of the Bria, because the Bria is built on the fact that you own something as a hekatinsa to be able to give. And that's why communism has to fall. That's what Rabbi Rukhman said. He didn't say the whole story with Griffin in the middle. What's the Yisoid? Hagufa, B'zan Alamdin. Why is it Mutzimichabe Labarai? Why is there violence? That also needs up the step of what's the Yisoid behind that? And there's a Bria of Chesed. Zot the Rosh Pazim Moinchel Kasher Hu Tzarn. I had this aura. I don't know what the heck of Tim, so whatever it was. I went. I was dealing with a Talmud. I wanted to give him a chizuk. So I went to the store and I bought him a little something. I forgot what it was. It cost me $2 or $3. A little chart that type of things that he likes. So I bought it for him. I gave it to him, and he was like, "Mama," she was like, "I made his day." And I had this overwhelming hargosha. Look at the chesed the Bereshim does for us. I took something which is extremely physical; it's finite, it's limited, it's money. And I spent a little bit of it, and I created infinity with it. I created netzach. I changed a person's day. That impacts the person. That's part of his nitzchias now. I created Olam Haba from a little physical thing of a dollar. Look at the chesed the Bereshit does with the Bria. It's a gorgeous Bria that we live in. The Bereshit allows us to take such something which is mamish. It's the chagornished, and it's finite, and make it infinite. It's a mind-boggling thing. They said the Goyim says before he was nifter, they said that he was crying. They said, why is he crying? They said, a person could take a few kopekas and buy a pair of sitzes and a shokel and put on some pair of sitzes, which is shokel like kol targ mitzvahs. The Rosh made a tremendous kayach of chesed called money. There's tremendous chesed, but the purpose of money is to spend it. The person who hoards it, because that gives him a confidence of, I'm safe. Bella Wine one time says, Ma Bain, Ru Ma Bain, we have the more sensitive story with Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish, you know, so he was, when he was Nifter, he left over a Kava Marikus. Rish Lakish was, you know, the head of the listim over there. Mishami is the Gavaldiga, you know, Usher. He becomes a Talmud Chacham. He's Nifter. He also lives over a Kava Marikus, the Gemara says. A Marikus was a type of a vegetable which you get down by the Agam for free Kamat. He picked, see, he left over his, you know, his portfolio for his Eidaklav. His portfolio was a Kava Marikus. And he says it himself, he says, Nebuch, he left over his efforts for somebody else. Right? So it means, he what was his taina? He could have worked a little bit, spent a little bit less time making money. A little time, you know, one kav less. You know, how big is a kav? So you're talking about, you know, a pound of he meant little mamish nothing. He had a time on himself. It was a waste. He wasted it. He could have spent a little more time learning or doing mitzvahs or doing something else, doing something good with it, instead of leaving it over for his kids. And you know, we sit in Baruch Hashem, so we worry about, you know, the this money and that money and this thing. You know, we have a different world. So Rabbi Wine pointed out, he says, you know, it's a different. I had this one time. I came to Mishugas. This is like probably my first or second year here. And I saw this advertisement for a free hour with a financial planner. I said, okay, free hour with a financial planner. Like, it doesn't pass by something which is for free, right? So let's, you know, copper ride. So I was thinking that, you know, I'm looking forward, you know, the kids, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, we have to pay for your tuition for the kids. So if you have some ideas of how to save money, wouldn't she be such a bad idea? Okay. So I go to him and says, you know, I'm looking for some ideas of how to make sure I put away money, make sure that I can pay for my kids' tuition properly. He says, no, the first thing you have to do, you have to have a retirement fund. He says, no, I don't want a retirement fund. I want to work on putting away money for my kids' tuition. He says, no, the first thing you have to have is a retirement fund. Like, that's like state in the books. You know, that's like the first you signed. He says, no, I'm not worried about retirement. The person will take care, God will take care of me. I told him, this is not from. Right? God will take care of me. I'm worried about, I have a chrayus to my kids. I want to worry about that right now. He says, no, you have the retirement fund. We spent the hour fighting about whether you get to retire. And that was the end of my free hour with the financial planner. So that was the end of it. The Gabaldic mile of money. So how do you make sure that you don't make money, your kessel, and you push it, and you make, when you spend it with an element of being mefazer? If you know, mishteyotzach, you know, mishteyotzach, you force yourself to afkat mefazer sometimes. So you're training yourself, it's a training process, you're training yourself that the focus isn't, I have money and I'm safe. The purpose of money is to spend it. The purpose of money is to be able to use it for what the Russia wants you to use. The purpose of money is the Russia gave you money because that'll allow you to take care of what the Russia wants you to take care of and do what you're supposed to be doing about it. Yes, in my scenario, I felt that part of my chrayus is I have a school, I'm a chrayus to the school, I want to pay tuition properly as best as I can. I need help to do that. That's what the Russia wants me to do. So that I need help for. That I should hold on to money to protect myself as a kumana dog. Really? And how many, you know, I didn't want to, you know, you look now at how many people have these beautiful retirement funds and now, you know, Mr. Madoff, whatever. I mean, you're guaranteed about anything. If your purpose is to hold on to it, so you can argue this, yes, I have a Christ and a Hebrew. Okay, we'll talk about that, maybe. That's an argument. But the goal, because you want to feel confident. That's the purpose. That's already castle. Now I feel comfortable because I have a lot of money in my retirement fund. So you know, now, I'm not saying you should give towards your mouth that the school's offering you a good retirement fund. You know, like, I'm not saying that, you know. Right? So the school's offering you something, and that's a good thing. Life insurance. You know, a person shouldn't need it. Life insurance, you know, so that, you know, that. It's fascinating, you know, to see the difference in Rabbi Yaakov or Moshe about life insurance. And Rabbi Moshe handles the halacha shali, you're allowed to have life insurance. No, you can't, you're allowed to have life insurance. Somebody came to Rabbi Yaakov and he handled the shali, you're allowed to have life insurance. And now he says, so he says to me, he said, looks at me, he says, medical insurance, how do you? Yeah. And car insurance, how do you? Yeah. And home insurance, how do you? Yeah. So, aha, like I said, So it's kum sadir, you want to make me safe, you want to have your insurance. Well, I have insurance that when you should be nifter and the kids, those are shayla, but that's not me, we have to worry about them. That was Yaakov's response. You know, I was like, you know, gemal de gechokma, like, you know, for me, I have to take care and make sure, but for you, zoltavim. That was Rabbi Yaakov's response. Okay, you know, so that's a different nakuda. It's on the life insurance, Shabbat. You know, you can ask your own shayla on that. You know, what are you supposed to do with that? While I'm saying stories, this is a totally different topic. I just want to tell you, we're talking about saying stories that didn't make it into the book. So I was talking with Healy about, you know, I told him this mice. He says he told me over another mice which got edited out from the book. This mice, I have to tell you, the mice is absolutely gorgeous. I can picture every single the part of the godless of the Rosh Hashiva, the Rosh Gifter, was that you could not predict him. And if you tried to predict them, you were a stupid idiot. You were fool. No, remember, you'd be foolish to try to predict the Rosh Hashiva. I mentioned that before. So here's the Maisa. Okay, this is a Maisa which was taken out because, you know, maybe political, different people could perceive it politically. It's nothing to do with politics. You know, if you know Rosh Hashiva, nothing to do with politics. But the Maisa, it's nothing to do with money. I just had time to tell you this Maisa. It came to mind. So there was a Yid who set up with the mice. His name is Rishlema Slonim. Rishlema used to come visiting by the Shiva. He was very close with Einim Rezatzal. He lives in Yerushalayim. He was learned by Rebbe the Mayor back in the 1940s. So this is 1947. And he says over mice like this, that there was a Bachur in Yeshiva. 47 was already very dangerous in Eretz Yisrael. There was a Bachur in Yeshiva who wanted to leave Yeshiva and go to Eretz Yisrael to fight, to help with the war. They knew the war was coming. So he went to Rav Gifter, and Rav Gifter told him he shouldn't go. He should sit and learn. Okay. The Bachur decided he's going Saibi. He's going anyway. Okay. The Bachur's leaving. Who knows if we're going to see this person alive, ever see him again, going out to Israel in 1947. You know, going out to Israel, like, you know, will we ever see him again? Will he survive? Who knows what's going to be? They made him say Tzitzel Mashal. The Rishiva hears about the fact that he's going, and they're making him say Tzitzel Mashal, and he tells the organizers, Ich kum reden. Okay. You can't say no to a gifter. He says, Kumreiden, you know, I'm coming to speak. That's it. That's a fact of life. Now remember, the Bachur is going against the explicit command of the Rishiva not to go. Okay, Rishiva comes. Rishiva gets up and he starts crying. He said it over in Yiddish, but he said, where did you hear such a beautiful Jewish heart? He says, Ich gesagt, das soll nicht gehen. I said that he shouldn't go. But his heart is pumping with the love for Jews to such an extent, even though I told him not to, he couldn't control himself and he has to go to help the Yidden Eretz Yisrael. Azam in Yiddish hearts. And he just said, tears going down his face, and he sat down. You know, the right, the wrong, but to be able to look at the Bachur and say, you know what, whatever, but the mice, I understand where you're coming from, I understand what's motivating you, I see the beauty in what's motivating you, and I might disagree with what you're doing, I told you not to, and you're not listening to me, and now it's ding, but the beauty of being able to look and see the beautiful what happened, and he sat down, and that was it, that's all he said. So I just, we were talking about mice. You can understand why I didn't get into the book, because, you know, people will, you know, will interpret it this way, people interpret it that way, you know, our school doesn't like that type of stuff, so they didn't put it in. But it's such a evolving story for Mechanchim, so, you know, to be able to look at a Bachur, who Mamash is doing explicitly opposite of you, and saying, what you did is beautiful. It's a phenomenal mice. Okay.